Okay, Romans, Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The definition of encouragement is this. It's a noun, the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. The Bible is filled with encouragement. In our Christian lives, we need and desire encouragement from God. So many of us, including me, get complacent from time to time because of the thoughts and worries of this world. You know, everyone seems so self-centered, and I feel sometimes it's not even worth it to help someone that God has intentionally placed in our path. Like Greg was saying last week, God is light, and He shines through us. Just like a lighthouse, people would be drawn to us because of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be that encouragement to others regardless of how we feel about them. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. So God chose specific characters to represent His Word in the Bible to encourage us. He has each one placed to represent His loving kindness towards us, for us to learn His will and desires for our lives. Some of these characters fell short in the end, and some got taken away, never to see again, or physically removed and moved from one place to another by the Holy Spirit. Philip was one of them. In the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit descending upon the world, starting with Jesus' disciples. Their job was to spread the good news of Jesus and His resurrection and how He saved us. This was a difficult task in their minds because God's mission for them was to spread the good news not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And they were all Jews. Remember all the rules we've been reading about the last couple of years? Imagine God telling them to break those rules to spread the good news about His Son. And this was all new to them, but God, through His Holy Spirit, guided them to encourage others to come to Christ. So, Acts 8, 26 through 40. Acts 8, 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road of the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near to it." Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of the scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking? Who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with a very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So God has been prompting me and encouraging me to be that person who can encourage others, even if I don't like what they do or want anything to do with them. I could still be his source of light to that person because I've been called to love them. Jesus commands us in John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. I was reading the sermon, and the pastor was talking about how to write effective sermons, and he said, always leave the word must out of your sermon. It's like telling your congregation, you have to do this or else. So Jesus commands us to do this, to love one another. When we adhere to his prompting and actually love that person, and that's in our way sometimes, we will be pleasantly surprised and blessed by the experience. It's definitely uncomfortable, but look at what God is doing in our lives and theirs. He is connecting us in a way that could only be described as coming from him. It doesn't make sense that something so small that we can do for others could be a life-changing event. All Philip did was explain the good news that was prophesied in the Old Testament through Isaiah, and the eunuch was saved. See, God does all the hard work, all the hard stuff. We just have to be his willing instrument. Physical instruments have to be taken care of. They have to be properly taken care of and tuned just right to produce the sound that they're supposed to give. When they aren't, they are disruptive to the music being performed. Allowing God to fine-tune us can be difficult, but knowing he is the great comforter helps us in this process. Asking for faith is what he wants us to do. Carnal knowledge just gets in the way, and we have to forget what we think we know sometimes and let God transform our minds. So remember when God told Elijah to stand on the mountain for he was going to pass by him? In 1 Kings 19:11-13. So 1 Kings 19:11-13. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was there an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. Then Elijah heard it, put his cloak over his face, and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. When a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God's encouragement comes at just the right time. Elijah was fleeing from everyone. He felt alone. He even told the Lord at the beginning of the chapter that he had enough and to take his life. But the Lord talks to us when we truly seek him and are willing to be obedient to his will. God wasn't in the elements described in these verses. We see this a lot where people think they are fellowshipping with the Almighty because of somewhere or something they desire to be, but without the guidance of the Holy Spirit and diving deep into his word, we think we know and it's just our own will and we are deceived. So Billy Graham once stated, in the beauty and abundance around us, we see the magnitude of God's power and the infinite details of his planning, but nature tells us nothing of God's love or grace. Conscience tells us in our innermost being of the presence of God and the moral difference between good and evil. But this is a fragmentary message, in no way as distinct and comprehensive as the lessons in the Bible. It's only in its pages that we find the clear and unmistakable message upon which all Christianity is based, end quote. We need to clear our minds of needless thoughts so that we can be aware of his message for us from day to day. So Barnabas means son of encouragement. His real name was Joseph, and he was a Levite from Cyprus. Cyprus is a small island off the coast of Israel. If anyone's been there or seen it, it's beautiful. It'd almost be like, nowadays, like a rich area to live in, like Hawaii or whatever. That's the way I saw it. And when the church when the church was at its beginning stages, Barnabas sold a piece of land that he owned and brought it, and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This encouraged others to do the same. Ananias and Sapphira also did this around the same time, but that's a different message. We also see Barnabas helping out Paul. When Paul was first converted, no one wanted anything to do with Paul because of how he treated Christians in his past. But Barnabas took him and brought, or Barnabas trusted and listened to God, took him and brought him to the apostles. Barnabas told the apostles how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul, Paul, was able to stay with them and preach in Jerusalem. Barnabas had given Paul support, confidence, and hope, thus exemplifying encouragement. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:5 that our good works are not done in vain. Philippians 1:5. Being confident of this, that he who worked, or that he who began a good work in you will carry it out on completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Jesus tells his disciples these words of encouragement regarding their salvation. Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." And I love this one. Bethany Hamilton quoted this over the news. When the shark bit off her arm. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So when we get into one of those funks that seem to overwhelm us, we could think of these verses of encouragement and put our hope and trust in Him. Some more encouraging characters in the Bible are Job, who was a man of perseverance, Abraham, a man of faith, Moses, a man of patience, Esther, a woman of courage, Noah, a man of endurance, Elijah, a man of boldness, David, a man after God's heart, Ruth, a woman of noble character, and Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. Some of my favorites haven't been mentioned, but God has used all of His servants in ways that encourage us all. When we pursue God's work and His will in our lives, we can rejoice instead of thinking that it's a hardship. For God's work is not done in vain, and it's not done in fear. So Acts 5:17-41. Kind of a long one, you guys can read along. When the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy, they had arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked with a guard standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. When someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went and his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they had heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be put outside for a while. When he had addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. If their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. His speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus is the Christ. Mm-hmm. So being counted worthy is all worth it. By being sons and daughters of our Lord, we can rejoice because the day of our Lord is near. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. We are his body, and we all need encouragement. His body is supposed to be encouraging to others. All of you have been an encouragement to me. His Holy Spirit works in a serious way sometimes, but we know this and love that about him. To conclude this message, here are some inspiring words from Paul in Romans 15:5-13. Romans 15:5-13. "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people." And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.